Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Caroline Fenton, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, we're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators in action tonight against the Detroit Red Wings. Puck drop at 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. We will have your pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. It is absolute free agency frenzy, and free agency technically hasn't even started. So, you know, never a dull moment here in the NFL. But the Titans weren't inactive yesterday. Of course, you're not going to get a whole lot of big marquee movement for the Titans, at least not quite yet. But the Titans made some moves yesterday, signing Andre Dillard, an offensive tackle from the Philadelphia Eagles. No, we haven't gotten the real numbers yet. But the contract now is 3 years, $29 million. I don't think that that's going to be the real contract, because Andre Dillard only has 9 starts in 4 years in the NFL. So I think it's not going to be, you know, 3 years, $29 million guaranteed. So they add Andre Dillard into the offensive line mix. Nate Davis on his way out. Nate Davis just signed with Chicago, 3 years, $30 million. Now, it's interesting that those contracts are almost seemingly identical. Now, Nate Davis is getting $19.25 million guaranteed. I don't think that the Titans are paying Andre Dillard that much in guaranteed money. But what this shows me is if the Titans wanted to re-sign Nate Davis, they would have, and they chose not to. Nate Davis goes to Chicago. The Titans bring in Andre Dillard and at least fill one of the holes at the offensive tackle position. So interesting to see the offensive line kind of take shape now here early in free agency.
Yeah, it does. And obviously they still, you know, have some moves they need to make in regards to solidifying that offensive line. You know, but this was a start. Whether now, I don't, you know, you look at this deal and you say, well, this is not, you know, for one, you're not getting a starter because he wasn't a starter in Philadelphia. So when you sign a guy in from the outside looking in, you're thinking like, are they truly getting a starter? Or are they getting a guy that wasn't capable of winning a starting job anywhere on that offensive line? Now, granted, Philadelphia had the best offensive line in the National Football League, but you got beat out, which, because you got to understand this, with a first-round draft pick, and I know he dealt with the bicep injury, and he played, in the first two seasons, he played a lot of snaps, and he didn't grade out too well, but he got better each and every year. You wonder, because they're going to give it all, you know, a first-round pick. They're going to give him every opportunity to be a starter. Like you have to be almost like either that guy has to be that good that beat you out, or you got to be that bad. Because I think if it's even for a first-round draft pick, you're gonna start the first-round draft pick. To me, it wasn't close in regards to how they competed against one another.
4 starts in his rookie year.
Exactly. Philadelphia, they just must have looked at it and said, this kid is nowhere near the player we thought he was going to be. Hence, he got beat out by a guy that wasn't drafted, in the first 3 rounds. I think the guy that ended up beating him out was a later round draft pick.
Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, he ended up beating him out. So that tells me, again, it tells me, like, what they saw, they really didn't like. Because from my experience, they give first-round draft picks every opportunity to win a job.
That's true. But I will say this, and this is me coming at it completely.
But he has got. But I want to say this before you say that, Willie. He has. If you look at the numbers, he has gotten better based upon the numbers.
And he's not playing behind a pigeon, right? That's one of the best offensive lines in the league last year. So the thing I thought, and look, I'm coming completely from the outside. I'm not here to tell you about his strengths, weaknesses. I have no idea. I don't study the backups of NFC offensive lines, right? I just don't know. But
you don't?
I remember when Delanie Walker signed with the Titans, and I was like, who's Delanie Walker? Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I remember him a little bit because he was a tight end and not an offensive lineman, but he was playing behind Vernon Davis. Mm-hmm. His stats weren't anything to write home about. But the Titans saw him as a guy that, okay, if we give this guy a chance to start, he could be good. I wonder if there's a little bit of that thinking.
There could be.
Dillard. Like, hey, he's got some talent. We had a first-round grade. They probably have a scattering grade on him from a few years back. Mm-hmm. Probably talked to some people and said, okay, look, we don't have a lot of money, so let's take a shot at this and see if it works. That's just what I think. I mean, I have no idea if that's the thinking behind it or not.
But, I mean, if it works, then it was a great signing.
It's going to be a great team-friendly signing, and they need some of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But if it doesn't work, it's going to be, well, you know, we were only on the hook for him for a year. We tried it. It didn't work, and now we move on.
Low risk.
And TD, because I'm with you. I don't study offensive linemen or how they got there, how they got acquired. But TD was on with Jared yesterday, and he said, so Jordan Mailata, who was the left tackle for Philadelphia currently, he was the seventh-round pick the year before the Eagles took Andre Dillard. Mm-hmm. But TD did say that Jeff Stoutland, their offensive line coach, Jordan Mailata was his guy. So he wanted Jordan Mailata to win the job. It was his. He wanted him to be a Philadelphia Eagle. That was his guy that he wanted to develop. And then on the other side, so you would say, okay, that can be your left side. Move him over to the right side, either one of the two. Mm-hmm. Get some work out of your first-round pick. But Lane Johnson is the right tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the best right tackles in the league. So that's the way that TD kind of framed it, is on one side you got a guy who the offensive line coach just loves. Mm-hmm. On the other side, you got one of the best right tackles in the league. It is such a stout offensive line. TD said that there was just no room for Andre Dillard on that offensive line. To which that I would always also say, if you really believed in him and if you really thought he was that good, you'd find a place for him. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the Titans are kind of finding a versatile piece, mm-hmm. because the Titans still have an opportunity to fill in the offensive line via the draft. So let's say you bring in Andre Dillard. You can still draft like a Paris Johnson, a Peter Skoronski in the first round of the NFL draft. One of those two can be your tackle, Nicholas Petitfrere on the other side. Maybe you move Andre Dillard to the guard spot, or Andre Dillard and that offensive tackle that you might draft in the first round are on your right and left sides. Nicholas Petitfrere goes into guard, and then maybe you have Aaron Brewer at center, and then you have to find another guard via free agency or maybe later on in the draft. So you at least can swing Andre Dillard around. You can at least swing Nicholas Petitfrere around, because Andre Dillard has played guard before, so at least they have a versatile piece. And I don't think that it's going to be as big of a commitment as the initial numbers may indicate that it is.
Well, if you look at their – if they had to start – say if the NFL was starting today, right now, their offensive line would be Andre Dillard, Aaron Brewer, Corey Levin, Dylan Radins, and Nicholas.
Jesus, take the wheel.
There you go. Yeah. But here's the
I'm going to give that grade an incomplete.
Yeah, that is – Professor Willie?
Yeah.
Incomplete. But I think – you know, obviously the Titans are going to add more pieces to this offensive line. But I think there's three guys right now that if I had to go into the season with these three guys and then add two more guys, I think I would be okay for now. Andre Dillard, Corey Levin at center, and Nicholas at right tackle. Mm-hmm. I think Corey Levin is he the greatest center? No, but I think he can get the job done. You put Dillard on one side, put Nicholas on the other. You got your new offensive line coach. You hope that this new offensive line coach is one of those coaches that can coach these guys up, and you see the improvement every week. I think you will see the improvement with Nicholas. I think Corey Levin will give you more. I don't know what Andre Dillard's going to give you, but I know he was a former first-round pick. I know his strengths were he was a good pass-blocking tackle, wasn't so good at run blocking. They never really ran run block with Mike Leach. They were passing the ball all the time, so he never got a chance to really explode off the ball a lot. Hence, that's why they went to Philly, and he struggled, and he might still struggle. But that's up to the Titans now to take on that responsibility to make him more of a run blocking tackle. He can pass block. We know that. But can he run block? But I'm okay with the three guys that I just mentioned. They just need to add that left guard and that right guard.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We've got a bunch of thoughts on Andre Dillard and, of course, your Aaron Rodgers thoughts as well. Free agency around the NFL. We'll get right into your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, and hey, join 1025 for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at a Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. So sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What do we know about him? What do you think of the deal? Reported 3 years, $29 million by Mike Garafolo.
I think that's great value to get a guy that could come in and be your starting left tackle. One thing you have to remember, this guy entering 2021, he was projected to be the starting tackle, but he got beaten out by Jordan Mailata. He was Jeff Stoutland's personal project. So this was bound to happen. I'm talking about one-on-one work over a three-year process, right? So Mailata beat him out, and he signed a huge deal with the Eagles last year. So that's really what happened there. I think when you look at Dillard, the one thing that I do want to kind of bring to light, the run blocking. I'm not like, from what I've been told, he doesn't have as much as like that killer instinct in him. Now, I don't know the man. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what I've been told. So that's something to look out for. But, I mean, you're getting a first-round talent. He was the number 22 pick. You know, in 2019. So you're getting a first-round talent.
There you go. That was TD Teron Davenport on Stillman & Company yesterday on Andre Dillard. Unless we have some thoughts.
Bring it.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One text for text in says, Andre Dillard sounds like Dennis Daly 2.0.
Ooh, I hope not.
That's no. Not fair.
What round was Dennis Daly picked in?
I have no idea.
Not the first.
I don't think he was a first-round pick, no.
That was a, look, we're jumping out of this plane, and we got to have a parachute, and the
sixth
parachute might have some holes in it, but we just got to find a way to get to the ground here. We got to get what's here. You know, we didn't have time to get the perfect parachute and plan this out. You just got to give me something because we got an emergency situation. Dennis Daly was an emergency acquisition.
Yes.
This is one that's got a little bit more, okay, we've eyed this guy. We got him at a reasonable price. He may not be the guy, but he's got some reason to believe with an opportunity, he could be a starter. That's what I'm seeing here.
And also, I don't think that, at least where it is right now, maybe things could change. I don't think Andre Dillard is your left tackle of the future. I don't think Andre Dillard is going to be the backbone of your organization moving forward. But I don't think that Andre Dillard is going to be Dennis Daly 2.0. I don't think that he's going to be an absolute disaster. To your point, Willie, a former first-round pick, the potential at least is there. Or at least Philadelphia saw that the potential is there. Maybe a good player buried beneath really, really good players in that Philadelphia offensive line. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen Andre Dillard play. I haven't seen what Andre Dillard can do. So we'll just have to see whenever he comes in and where he's going to be needed. David Texan says, what is with the Titans and just gladly letting folks walk out the door?
Man, it's we talked about this earlier, Caroline, and it does seem and sometimes perception can be reality that the Titans have a – I'm not going to say they don't want to sign the guys that they draft, but they've had a hard time at signing back guys that they've drafted and watch progress throughout their career. You know, whether it's Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, you know, you go down the line of guys they drafted and eventually didn't end up signing back. Jack Conklin was another guy. And now you can add David Long Jr. to the long list of guys over the last 5 years or 6 years that the Titans have drafted that they've watched develop into good players, not great players. Well, Jack is borderline. I mean, Jack has been a really, really good tackle in his league. He's been an all-pro. He's been a pro bowler. But they've had a hard time at signing guys that have helped them. You know, they've had a hard time at signing them to second contracts. Now, I'm not saying that this is what they do or they don't want to sign them, but it just seems like they hadn't been able to sign guys back that could help their team moving forward.
It is surprising. Yeah. That's got to be. Because I remember the late Floyd Reese used to say this all the time. His frustration. Because remember, he became a GM right as the salary cap was a brand new thing. So he had to get used to, you know, what are the strategies here?
Yeah.
You know, how is the league going to handle this? As GMs, we've done it one way for 30, 40 years, you know, 50 years, whatever it is, handling your player's contract. You didn't have to worry about a salary cap. Now you got to do this. So everybody had their thing. He used to get frustrated and go, can you just let me sign my guys?
Uh-huh.
The guys that we drafted, the guys that I know. If I could just keep my guys, that would make my job a lot easier. So he had this dilemma sometimes because what would happen is they'd run out of money and some good players like Robert Smith or, you know, other guys, this would happen every now and then. They couldn't offer them
what the market
with. John Thornton's a great example.
Another one, exactly.
Right? There were several guys off of some really good Titans teams where it would really frustrate Floyd Reese because he ran out of money. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, he couldn't keep all the good players. It was a good problem to have. But this is happening a lot to this Titans team.
And you're going to see it across the league of there are teams that drafted really, really well, and they're not going to be able to retain all of those guys. I think you're going to start seeing that with the Philadelphia Eagles. They've drafted very well.
Yeah.
And all of those contracts will get to a point where all of those players performing at the level that they have been at, Jalen Hurts included, they're going to want to get paid. You're not going to be able to pay all of those guys. You're not going to be able to retain all of those guys.
Big trade just happened. A couple of people reporting it. Darren Waller, the very talented tight end from the Raiders, being traded to the Giants.
Oh.
So the Giants adding a pass-catching tight end to the mix.
Well, they need it. Interesting.
They need it with their quarterback situation. Even though they believe in Daniel Jones, he does need, you know, some more reliable pass catchers. And they especially at the tight end position because, you know, that's a quarterback's best friend, a big, you know, physical, athletic tight end like Waller.
So according to Ian Rappaport, the Giants are sending the pick that they got for Kadarius Toney. Remember, they traded Toney to the Chiefs, got a draft pick back. They're taking that pick, swapping that to the Raiders for Waller.
Okay. So it's a trade.
Sorry, to the Giants for Waller.
It's a trade.
It's a trade, yes.
I'm interested to see what Josh McDaniels is doing in Vegas because it sounds like he is trying to pluck his guys from New England. Signing Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday. They signed Jacoby Myers, who was with Josh McDaniels for 3 years in New England. It sounds like Josh McDaniels is trying to build his own New England Patriots 2.0 over in Vegas.
Well, it better work.
So, yeah, so it's a third-round pick for Waller.
Only a third-round
pick? Third-round pick. So they got the third-rounder for Kadarius Toney from the Chiefs. They're swapping that to the Raiders for Waller.
A good player, but he was injured last year.
Yeah, he didn't have a great year.
Yeah, he didn't because of the injuries.
Yep.
So I can see why, you know. But still, a third-round pick, that's still a lot for a guy that
it's kind of mixed. I've seen a mixed initial reaction here. Some people think it's a steal, and some people are like, you're like, okay, it's about right. Or, you know, third round is significant.
Exactly.
He's a pretty good player for third round.
Is New York taking on all of the salary?
I'm not seeing
that.
He just signed
I would assume yes, but I haven't seen
contract.
Anything.
Darren Waller?
Yeah, he just signed a contract. It was a couple of years ago.
That's
maybe.
Right. Well, that was a big thing before last year, right? It was a big holdout, I remember there was a big thing with this contract.
Yeah, I think
if it wasn't last
signing
year,
a contract with them.
We got to pull out our spot rack info.
Yeah.
So he signed a 3-year, $51 million contract.
So the contract is an important thing here.
So that's probably it. The Giants said we'll take on the contract, but we're not going to give you as much draft capital
exactly,
in return.
Because they potentially might have to re-sign him anyway, because his contract might be up either after this season or after next season.
That makes sense.
So
you know who is probably very frustrated with his current position right now? Devontae Adams.
Yeah. I would say.
I don't think he's very happy with the Las Vegas Raiders organization.
But, hey, when he looks at his bank account, I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
here's an interesting point.
Wipe your tears with your millions.
We mentioned the Kadarius Toney pick. This is an interesting point made. Toney has missed 15 games the last 2 years with injuries. That's been his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Waller has missed 14 games the last 2 years with injuries. So staying on the field is the issue with Waller.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Seeing a whole lot of text in the text line about this, and I want to address it coming up next, because as we see all of these moves coming down the pipe, free agency signings and trades, I know Titans fans are getting impatient, but we will discuss coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Hey, join 1025 The Game live from the Rusty Nail this Friday for the second day of the opening round of the tournament. Enjoy $3 two-lane beer drafts while watching some hoops during a St. Patrick's Day celebration. The Rusty Nail is located in Hermitage and provides a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts. Plus, they've got great drinks, great food, especially the wings. That's 1025 The Game at the Rusty Nail at 4054 Andrew Jackson Way in Hermitage this Friday. Doors open at 10 a.m. So I'm seeing this all across the text line, all across Twitter. Everybody talking about, well, what are the Titans going to do? The Titans are just sitting back. The Titans haven't spent any money. The Titans haven't gone for any players. The Titans have all of these needs, and all of these players are getting scooped up, and everybody is stressed out about the Titans and angry that the Titans won't spend any money. But we've talked about it before, and I want to talk about it again, because I think all of the free agency frenzy and the trades and all of the subsequent moves that are going to happen in the NFL, a lot of people get blinded by it. The Titans aren't going to make any big moves, at least in the first round of free agency. It's something that TD has told us not to expect any big-time marquee moves. It's something that we have come to learn that the Titans don't want to spend money right now. They just don't have the money to spend. The Titans, I think, are going to make a whole lot of the Andre Dillard type of moves. Find guys for not incredibly long-term deals, for not a whole lot of money, guys that can help you fill holes right now, but you're not going to get any Orlando Brown Juniors. You're not going to get any of these big-time signings. It's just not going to happen this year.
No. This is something to keep in mind, too. Uh-huh. Right now, we're wowed by these moves. These are fun. It's exciting. But this happens in every sport. Mm-hmm. It's not always the best move, especially in the NFL. Overpaying for free agents is a risky, risky thing.
It's something that have gotten the Titans in hot water in the past.
Absolutely. So remember that if you're a Titans fan, how frustrated you were when they signed Vic Beasley or Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm.
For Julio.
You can use any example. And all teams have this, right? But sometimes the smartest move is to wait and find those bargain guys that end up being really smart fits for not a lot of money, and you take the rest of the resources and address other needs. So this can work. This can work.
In order to, and I'm sure this is sort of the path that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel and that coaching staff, scouting staff are going down. If just think about the organizations that are consistently winning organizations. We think Pittsburgh, we think Baltimore, New England,
Green Bay,
San Fran. So it's about 5 to 7 teams that consistently, like, over the last decade, consistently win. The thing that those teams have in common, they don't overspend. They don't. They will not overspend for players. Now, they may for a quarterback, but a quarterback is different. Take a quarterback out of the equation. Quarterbacks are different, but they're not going to, on the first day of free agency, reach and sign guys for contracts that are over and beyond what many believe they should make. Those franchises, winning franchises, normally don't do that. They sit back. One, they try to sign their own guys, for one. When they can't do that, or when they are able to do that, then they go out that second wave of free agency and they get those guys for a much lower cost. So to them, you know, we sign you for X amount of dollars, we bring you in, you know, your production matches your cost now. It's not the first day of free agency. We go out and we get this guy and we pay him $100 million, but his production during the season or for the next 3 seasons tells us we should have signed him for much less. Those are smart organizations that do that.
Yes.
And I think the Titans believe they are a smart organization. So they're going to wait. Hell, they didn't even sign their own free agents.
I'm channeling my inner Floyd Reese today for the second time. Okay, here's another great adage by Floyd Reese. He goes, you can pay a $2 million player $4 million a year, but you know what he is? A $2 million player.
He's still a $2 million player.
He's still a $2 million player. So you have to have – you got to stick to what you believe the value of each player is and not get – because sometimes you are tempted and you have to overpay for a guy that you like. But you can only do that so many times. If not, you end up with a roster full of overpaid guys. You don't want that.
No,
you can have right. You can have one or two guys that you splurge on
exactly.
Because of the need and – the budget you have, and look, we've got to fill this hole, so there's no alternative. I get that. But if you do that too much, you're going to get burned.
That's just like them going out, and I can see why they chose to sign an Andre Dillard rather than signing Orlando Brown Jr. Because Andre Dillard, they don't have to overpay. They can pay him market value. Essentially, it's a three-year, but maybe it's really a one-year deal. And if he plays great, then we got him at a bargain price. If he doesn't, then okay, we tried, we missed, we move on. Well, you sign an Orlando Brown for 5 years, you know, $15+ million. If it doesn't work out, now your job is on the line.
Yep, and you're paying the price.
Exactly.
It's costing you other things on your roster.
Absolutely.
Too, it's eating into your budget.
And you look at some of the teams that went big yesterday, Chicago, for example.
The Chicago is diving into this thing.
Diving in, because Chicago has more cap space than they know what to do
exactly.
with
it. And they have a quarterback on his first contract, and so you have more money to use.
And you need to use 95% of the cap space over 4 years. You need to. And Chicago is trying to just eat up all of that cap space. Look at Denver. Denver was doing a whole lot yesterday. Well, you've got Sean Payton coming in, and you've got that franchise that just sold the farm for Russell Wilson.
So they got to win.
They have to win. They have to see if Russell Wilson is the problem or not. And you also look at Sean Payton, offensive guru guy, who drafted an offensive lineman for 3 years in a row, 2018, 19, and 20, in the first round of the NFL draft. He believes in the offensive line. He wants to build up that offensive line because the offensive line in Denver was absolutely horrible last year. To be fair, it was in Tennessee as well.
Yeah.
That's why they go out and get Andre Dillard, and I think that the Titans are going to sit back and wait and see what other deals they can sign to fill the holes and to fill the areas of need. So it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
They're not going to make any big marquee signings, at least right now, and that is my understanding of the team and where it is right now and the resources that they have available.
People, we got the draft.
You got the draft.
You have obviously free agencies first. We got the draft, and then you got guys that will be cut eventually post-June. You know, so after the June cuts, you're going to see a bunch of guys or notable veterans on the free agent market. And the Titans can then say, okay, well, we like that guard, or we like this guy. Now they can get him at a much lower cost, you know, and still have someone that's going to be productive for the organization.
615-737-1025 is our phone, and we'll get back into your phones. Plus, it's the biggest news. I see it on SportsCenter. I see it on NFL Live. I'm seeing it all across Twitter. Aaron Rodgers, his demands to the New York Jets, and are the Jets completely stuck in a corner to do something that they might not want to do, or to do something that might not set up their team for the future? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025, 1063, The Game. Willie, D-Mays, we're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators are in action against the Detroit Red Wings tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. We'll have all of the pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock with Max Hurst, and of course, the call for the entire game at 7 o'clock. Predators, Red Wings, 7 o'clock tonight. And it's the biggest story. I'm seeing it on ESPN. I'm seeing it on NFL Live. I'm seeing it all over Twitter. I'm seeing it all over everywhere with any sort of NFL coverage, and it is, what in the world is going on with Aaron Rodgers? Trey Wingo reports yesterday the deal is done between the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Ian Rappaport says a couple minutes later, no, it's not done. I'm not hearing that it's done. Nothing has happened. He doubled down on that on NFL Network last night. So right now, the pen is not to paper with Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. At least that's as far as we know. Diana Rossini tweets, Aaron Rodgers has presented the New York Jets with a wish list. Of course, his former wide receiver from Green Bay, Alan Lazard. Another former Green Bay wide receiver in Randall Cobb. And I guess not former. I mean, they're still teammates, technically. And then Mercedes Lewis, tight end, and Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. So now not only has Aaron Rodgers stretched out this entire situation way longer than it needed to be, longer than he said he wanted it to be back in January when he said, hey, it's only January. Mm-hmm. We have a long time until March. I'm not going to get this into free agency. Now here we are in free agency and it's still going on. So not only has Aaron Rodgers been dangling the carrot in front of the New York Jets over the last few months, now he has a list of demands of players that he wants to bring into New York. And now Jimmy Garoppolo is with the Raiders. Derek Carr is with the Saints. Taylor Heineke is with the Falcons. Sam Darnold is with the 49ers. The Jets have very, very few backup options. Mm-hmm. I think Ryan Tannehill could be one of them. And then you get into Baker Mayfield land. So then the Jets are just really, you know, kind of screwed at this point. So they may not want to sign those four players. They may not want to dish out the cash for those four players. But they really are backed into a corner as far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned. I don't see this ending well for the New York Jets. I really don't.
I think the Jets are going to – they're going to eventually get their guy, and their guy is Aaron Rodgers. Now, it's only a wish list. It's things that, you know, if you're asking Aaron Rodgers, okay – what is it that you would like if we can make it happen that makes you feel comfortable, you know, that you can, you know, come in and hit the ground running? Well, I need Mercedes Lewis, you know, Odell Beckham, Lazard, okay, Randall Cobb. All right, cool. Well, that's your wish list. So how do we facilitate this now as a organization? Well, are they going to overpay for Alan Lazard?
Probably
have to. He's a young guy. Probably have to. But he's feasible. We can go out and get him. We can bring in Randall Cobb for much less price, much lower price. That's feasible. We can do it. The two guys that I would be we're not just going to go out and sign him forever. Mercedes Lewis and Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham, he's working out for teams, and teams are scared to sign him because of the knee injury. Is he healthy enough to come back and to help us win? Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm the Jets, I'm right along with them. Like, is he healthy enough, for one, to play here? Because we don't want to sign him to this big contract or to a 2 or 3 year contract and guarantee half of it, and then come in and you get hurt season one, now we're on the hook. Or Aaron, you decide to retire after year one, now we're on the hook with all these guys. No, the guys that we could probably go out and get that would help our organization would be Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb. I would get those two guys if I'm the Jets. Everybody else, I'm like, I don't know, Aaron. I don't know if we can get them, because with these two guys, Lazard and Randall Cobb, team them with Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore, you have you a really good passing team. You have a really good collection of pass catchers along with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. You don't necessarily need Odell Beckham. It'll be nice if he comes, you know, on the cheap, mm-hmm. but you don't need him. You have what you need in-house if you bring in Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard. Now you have your one and your two in Garrett Wilson. He's your one. Lazard's your two, can be a one. Randall Cobb can be your three, or Elijah Moore can be your three. So you have your receivers. You get you a tight end, you're fine. You don't need to go out and get all four guys.
The thing that I take away from this, more so than exactly who brings what to the table, is this. The double-edged sword of bringing in a guy who you just lay down and say, whatever you need, come on in. It can work, but you can get burned on that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's LeBron. People have referenced LeBron. Yeah. They've referenced Tom Brady. And it can work. If it brings you the championship, it's worth it. But you can, you know, what at what price is it not worth it if you're just saying, look, Aaron, you can run the show. You just tell us what you need, and you can do whatever you want. You want to come in on Wednesday. You want to come in on Thursday. You know, there's only so many concessions that you can give. We'll sign whoever you want. You can hire whoever you want. It's a lot of trust to put in him, especially with all of that's happened before.
Well, if I'm the Jets, I'm saying, okay, I know what you want as far as pass catchers, but if you're really thinking Aaron Rodgers, you need you another running back because Hall is coming off an injury. Mm-hmm. You're letting Robinson go. He's gone. You need a backup running back just in case Hall gets injured again.
Bring in Aaron Jones.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're asking for all these pass catchers. What happens if your number one running back gets hurt again? You're going to become a one-dimensional team, which is going to make your job even harder.
I think the Jets are getting into a very dangerous situation with Aaron Rodgers, where they basically are getting very close to giving Aaron Rodgers carte blanche of the organization. You want these guys? Okay, we'll go out and sign them. It's essentially like Aaron Rodgers is getting a seat at the ownership table and picking out whatever players he wants. And that's a very, very dangerous position to be in with a person who has proved to be as honestly selfish as Aaron Rodgers has proven to be over the last few years with the way that he's dealt with the Green Bay Packers over the last couple of off seasons and now how he's handling this off season and where his next spot will be. And if I'm the Jets, now I have to seriously think about what I'm willing to give up in terms of draft capital to actually trade for Aaron Rodgers. Because are they going to take on the full salary? I would probably say probably not, or at least adjust the contract in some way. And now you're bringing in all of these wide receivers, and you're trying to check off Aaron Rodgers' wish list. Because I'm with you, it probably is not feasible to bring in all four of those pass catchers. But also, the Jets are already backed into a corner. They may not have an option.
Well, no, you're right. But the cautionary tale should be they should look no further than what Green Bay did. Green Bay did the exact same thing that the Jets are potentially going to do now. Yep. Give Aaron Rodgers the keys to the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look at what he did. Exactly. Backwards. Look at what he did to Green Bay in the position Green Bay is in.
But they're also backed in
exactly,
the corner.
Now he could potentially put you in that same situation, but there are certain markets that you just have to do it. You may not want to do it, but you have to. And the New York market is one of them. You got to win, baby, win. That's all. It's just like the Jets, the Giants, the Knicks, the Yankees, the Mets. Do whatever you need to do. Because we want to win championships.
And if you get a Lombardi at the end of it,
exactly,
it was all worth it. That's going to do it for us today. Predators in action tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. We'll have your pregame coverage here on 102.5 and 106.3. The game starting at 6 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.